As often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he comes. Words taken from today's epistle on the Feast of Corpus Christi. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear Canon, dear Father, dear Monsieur l'Abbé, and dear sisters, dear faithful, as we appreciate the beautiful gardens of St. Mary's at this time of year, we consider that every gardener knows in planting flowers that we have need of things that serve no other purpose than to be beautiful. That is true of these gardens, and it is true of our glorious church, whose anniversary we have just celebrated. Ideas have consequences. And this building, the beautiful grounds that surround it, are here because of a truth, an article of our divine faith. This place, this oratory of ours, our dear St. Mary's, is beautiful because God dwells here. In the old dispensation, good King David exclaimed, "How can I live in a royal palace while my God dwells in a tent? I will not give sleep to my eyes until I have found a place for the Lord, a true dwelling for the God of Jacob." In that temple of the Old Testament, God dwelt spiritually. Here we find him really, truly, and substantially present in the forms of bread and wine, present in his current state of glory, to be sure, but appearing among us in a humbled state. 1 month ago in this beautiful church, our children made their first communion. They professed in their first communion their belief that the Holy Eucharist is one of the seven sacraments instituted by Christ, and that Christ is really present in this sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And they have also learned that the Holy Eucharist is not only a sacrament, it is also a sacrifice. It is a sacrament as it is received by men. It is a sacrifice in that it is offered to God. It is a sacrament because of what it is, a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. It is a sacrifice because of who it is, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. But we might continue and insist on this question: how exactly is the real presence of Christ under the forms of bread and wine a sacrifice? In answering this, I might seem to stray far afield in recounting this heart-wrenching and indeed exquisitely beautiful story. But I shall do so nonetheless. This story recalls a glorious ordination day some 80 years ago. Everything for this ordination had been carefully prepared for the young deacon who was about to be made a priest. The holy books, the holy oils, and the liturgical books were on hand, and the ordaining bishop wore freshly made violet vestments. He even had a new episcopal ring, a crozier, and a silk mitre for this grand occasion. Although it was the penitential season of Advent, splendid violin music could be heard, for it was Gaudete Sunday. A great number of priests were there to lay hands on the ordinand, and fellow seminarians were there to pray for him as well. The date was December 17th, 1944. The place of ordination was not one of the sumptuous cathedrals of Europe. This place has come to be known as one of the darkest man-made holes in our universe. But it was the place which contained perhaps the largest body of Catholic clergy during the entire Second World War. I am speaking of the German concentration camp at Dachau. The priest was Father Karl Leissner, now beatified. Karl Leissner had been a seminarian in Münster before the war. His ordination was postponed when he contracted tuberculosis and had to spend many months in recovery. During that time, he was caught making comments against the Nazi regime and was sent in his frail state to join the ranks of many other priests and seminarians as a prisoner in Dachau. One day, a French bishop joined their ranks as well, and the idea began to circulate of ordaining the poor Deacon Leissner in the camp, since it was doubtful that he would live much longer. At first he resisted, for he wanted to celebrate his first Mass in his home parish. But when word came that his parish church had been destroyed in an air raid, he finally agreed. By a miracle of grace and cunning, the permission of his ordinary and the holy oils were smuggled into the camp. Fellow prisoners saw to making the episcopal ring, crozier, mitre, and vestments. During the secret ceremony, a Jewish prisoner played his violin outside of the prison block in order to distract the guards. 9 days later, on the feast of St. Stephen, first martyr, Father Karl Leissner celebrated his first Mass in Dachau. He lived to see the liberation of the camp several months later. Nevertheless, that first Mass in Dachau was the only Mass Father Leissner ever said. Like his Savior, this priest celebrated one Mass and died. But for that brief moment, it could be said that Christ was a prisoner in Dachau, just as he is in this very tabernacle of our church, a prisoner of love, really, truly, and substantially present. How is the real presence of Christ a sacrifice? In this dark world of ours, how could it not be? Christ died once for our sins and now dies no more. He is in a state of glory when he becomes present for us under the forms of bread and wine. And yet he does not come yet in his glory, as he will as our judge at the end of time. No, he humbles himself to appear under the forms of bread and wine, signifying the separation of his body and blood on Calvary. And so he humbly dwells among all those who participate in his holy priesthood as true priests and true victims. True shepherd, true bread, have mercy on us, O Jesus. Feed us, defend us, and lead us to where true joys await us in the land of the living. Amen.